What happened?
Everything was fine on the stream. Our board was in the wrong position.
Oh, no.
So we heard it differently.
Are you okay?
Yeah, everything's good.
What a dangerous time that was.
It was. I gotta go turn some headphones down.
Where are you going? You're hearing headphones from across the room? All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. That's Wendy. You just heard there for a little bit. I'm Bill. You'll hear me for a little bit now. And then we'll talk to each other, and that'll be fun. Later on, Jerry Nunn makes a return visit to the show. We have Jerry on usually at either the very end of the month or the very beginning of the month to give us a preview of all the things, the big events going on here in Chicago. He could not be on with us last Friday. Because what was going on in the news? There was some major news event going on.
That was the Kavanaugh stuff.
Was that the Kavanaugh stuff? Yeah. So
one week later, more Kavanaugh stuff. They voted to vote on him. Right. That's pretty much
what went down today. Yeah.
And they said yes, he can move forward, and then the official vote is tomorrow, from my understanding.
Yep.
Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote yay or nay?
I don't think I get to vote in this, Wendy. I'll be honest with you.
Is it aye or nay?
I think, yeah, those are their options, is aye or nay.
What year is it?
1783. I
know. Can we just, you know, modernize it a bit? And here's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Aye.
I know.
No.
Were you on student council?
Yeah, I was president.
Right. Oh, very impressive.
I was president in eighth grade of the student council.
President pro temp?
I was not temporary. Nothing? It was for the full year and in high school.
Did you do the thing where anytime somebody wanted to do something, somebody would have to make the motion? I make the motion that the meeting start. I make the motion. I double the motion. I triple the motion.
Yeah, I didn't think we did it like that, though. And my motion was something different.
You had your own motion. Yeah.
I just think, we'd call this meeting to order. Yeah. I don't think we went through
the call to order. Call to order, says the president.
I didn't have
a gavel.
When
the funny company meets, it's just what we present. Things to D. All right. Yeah, that guy was great. All right. So both at student council and schools, they had to follow that format because without it, it would be chaos. But I was in, I lived in a co-op for a while, which is like a condo. And whenever the condo or co-op, as we were instructed to refer
What's
to it
What's the difference between a co-op and a condo?
Here's
and
the
it's
difference,
not a joke.
Basically, if you own a condo, let's say there's a building and there's 10 units in the building. If you own a condo, you own your unit, right? If you own a co-op, you own like shares in the building. So you would owe if there were 10, you'd have 10% of the entire building, not just your apartment.
Oh,
that's the difference. It's a corporation.
That's interesting. So obviously you care more about what happens to the building because you're a minor owner.
You would think so. It's
not
always that way. There's a lot of faults in it. The main fault is that whenever you're trying to sell, you have to bring in the new prospective buyer and introduce them to the rest of the people who live in the building. And if one person votes no, and it happened to us, then the sale goes through. That doesn't go through.
Boy, that's worse than the Kavanaugh hearings.
It's so unfair.
That is unfair.
In our situation, the people who live below us were extremely religious, like the most religious people you've ever met in your life, which is fine. But then when we were selling, our unit was on the market for a while. The lady who wanted to buy it was a divorced woman with two kids. The argument, the nicest lady you've ever met in your life. The argument with the downstairs people, the religious people, were we don't want our children exposed to a divorced woman.
So the rest of that woman's life is useless, according to this family, because she's divorced.
She's divorced.
They don't even know the circumstances.
Right.
Maybe he was a complete idiot.
Didn't matter to them. They didn't want their kids. Because think about it. If you're a kid and you're exposed to a divorced woman, Wendy, all hell breaks loose.
How long ago was this?
15 years ago.
Okay, because a lot has changed.
Not with those people.
No, it hasn't, because divorce was pretty common 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know, you can have two dads or two moms.
Right. Oh, I said to my wife, I go, we should find the most extreme people in the world now and bring them in just to see how they'll react. It was so unfair. And actually, they ended up saying, okay, they would let those people in the building under one condition. We write them a check for $3,700.
That's extortion.
It is extortion. And we did, my wife insisted we do it because we were on the line for a house. We would have lost the house.
Right, all contingent.
Because there was a contingency that we had to sell first. So I wrote. Oh, go on.
I'm sorry. Yeah. They don't agree with it, but for $3,700.
They would look the other way. That was their price. I wrote them a letter saying, I believe we live in a world where every man has their price. And I do. Everybody has their price. I said, but to have morals that'll go away for $3,700 is just unbearable. You know, and it's
no,
horrible.
It should have been like $1 million. Because then they knew you couldn't pay it.
Right.
And then they'd be able to say, you know, well, that's why I don't want them living in here. No divorce.
It was a horrible situation. It was a terrible situation. Yeah.
Why aren't people nicer to one another? Why don't people hold doors for each other anymore? Just walking in this building, there's like a little, there are pillars in the lobby so you can walk on the side closest to the elevator banks,
yeah,
which is a little narrow, or where the fish tanks are, which is a bigger area.
Right.
And there were two girls today that were on their phones, looking at their phones, talking and walking and taking up the whole smaller area.
Yeah.
And I could have walked around them, but I just kind of came up on them very quickly and said, excuse me. And they looked at me like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, just be aware of your surroundings. Know that people are coming and going to work, so don't block the one side.
I know.
I just truly don't understand it.
Yeah. Something's happened. And I'm not going to blame this on Donald Trump. That's unrealistic. But something has happened to people lately where it's just become every man for themselves. You know?
Yeah, it's not right. You know, merging in on the Eisenhower every morning. I'd say 8 out of 10 times, I don't have to wait. People just kind of wave you on.
Yeah.
But there are those mornings where people just
no
drive. They won't even look at you. And it's like, are you kidding?
I know. I'm very cognizant whenever I get to an intersection. You know how, all right, so let's say there's an intersection and there's two lanes of traffic going in every direction, right? If you're coming up to an intersection where you can turn right on red, I always, 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 always stay in the lane to leave the right lane open.
Right, for someone who wants to turn.
They can turn
me
right,
too.
Right? All right. On Mondays, I play tennis at this place in the northern suburbs. And there's an intersection there, a very busy intersection. I've been playing there for 3 years on a Monday. Every single time I've gotten to that intersection, there's always a guy. Anytime two cars approach, one guy's in the regular lane. The other guy always, always takes the right lane. And I always say to myself, there's a law of averages that at some point they're going to leave that right-hand turn lane open. It's never happened once in 3 years. Somebody would rather say, I don't care if 1,000 people need to turn right. I'm taking this lane. It's ridiculous.
I do that all the time where I'll
leave the lane open.
Yeah. I mean, I'll switch lanes at the last minute if I...
Yeah.
But see, that's something, and I accuse... And it's not all men, but it's the men in my family.
It's mostly men.
Well, a lot of times men aren't 100% aware of their surroundings.
I'd say almost all the time.
You are really an exception to the rule.
I try to be aware of my surroundings, but I see guys all the time and I go, how do you survive in the world not knowing what's going on around you? It's amazing.
Even just like grocery shopping, you know, you can hear when someone has turned down the aisle.
Yeah.
And maybe you're stopped in front of the potato buds because you don't know if you want Betty Crocker or Idahoan. So, you know,
right.
if I'm paused in front of it for a minute,
right.
I can tell, you know, who's coming behind me and who's coming in front of me so I can move my cart to allow them to go.
Yeah.
And then there are other people, mainly men and older women, who they're just there and
right.
they don't care.
Right.
Even, and again, I walk up to them like, you know, before I say excuse me, I kind of walk up to them to see if they'll move their cart.
And they won't.
They don't.
No, they won't.
A lot of times, even if you go, excuse me, can I just grab this
then
for a second?
Then you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
You like, become the bad guy.
I get a lot of titches.
I know. You've put them out.
I really
You've
try
totally
to
put them out.
Care about other people.
Can I tell you one from my health club? This is from 2 weeks ago, but I think it still holds up today. I go to use a machine, and a guy comes up, and he goes, I'm on that machine. And I go, on this machine? The one I was on, I thought he was
getting.
The
empty one that I'm getting on right now?
He goes, yeah, I'm switching off. I'm doing this one, and then I'm doing it. And he points at one that's three aisles down. I do this one for a while. I do that one for a while. I go, yeah, but you're not on it now. I'm on it now. He goes, I was on it. He goes, and I'm going back and forth. I go, when I'm done with it, you can have it again. And he just stares at me. He wants to do a stare down. I go, you can stare at me all you want. As soon as I'm done, you can have the machine. He goes, bro, which automatically,
yeah.
As soon as I get a bro, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
He goes, bro, you got to understand when you're deep into it, the way I'm deep into it, it's better for your muscles to alternate on the machines. And I go, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't
care. As soon as I'm done, you can continue.
And you don't go on peak times because I know when we get off the air.
I go on my way home.
And so I guess he's been spoiled because he's been able to do it because it's not very crowded.
Right.
But I'm sorry, man. It's a gym. Everybody's paying the same amount.
No. I know. I just love the audacity. And it's one of those things where then I'm like, I should have said this, or I could have said this, or I should have said this. But why couldn't I say, well, you know what? Then I'm on every machine in here. I'm going to use every machine. You can't use any of the machines.
Right. I'm a circuit guy. I go and do 10 reps on each of these machines. So stay clear.
I just wonder, like, who has he done that for in the past where he'll walk up to a stranger and go, I'm on the machine. The one that it seems you're on, I'm actually on it. Who's fallen for that?
I would fall for it.
Would you really?
Yeah, because I don't want any confrontation.
It's insane.
I really would be like, I'd give him a look, and then I'd come home and bitch about him to Jimmy Mack, but I probably would say, all right, whatever.
I love the, like, with a straight face, like, well, you have to leave because I had been on that machine, and my plan was, that's a great plan, but your plan's been thwarted. Sorry.
Don't you wear earbuds when you work out?
No.
Because you should.
No, I hum.
You should put them in and not even turn them on, because then you can just point, like, you know, sorry, can't hear you.
Hall & Oates, can't hear you. I can't go for that. No can do. That's
I would
what
love
I'll do. And then this will be the talk in the health club the next day. That Hall & Oates guy got beat up. You know Jimmy Two Machines? He totally beat up the Hall & Oates guy.
Jimmy Two Machines.
That guy that's always on that machine and that machine, Jimmy Two Machines, he came up to the Hall & Oates guy and he snapped his neck like a chicken bone.
I just don't understand why people can't be respectful of one another. Also, there on the Eisenhower this morning, it was pretty backed up, and there was a police officer with not sirens, but with the Mars lights going, or with the rollers, whatever.
Yeah.
And there are three lanes on the incoming Eisenhower, on the inbound Eisenhower, as you're approaching Congress. There's a lot of construction.
Yeah.
There was hardly anyone in the left lane except this guy who was riding next to me blocking the cop. And it's like, dude, please pull over. I can't go anywhere.
How'd the cop react to that?
He just did the, you know, they have the big.
That works.
The single horn.
Yeah.
But how could you not notice it? Even if your stereo is blaring, you're supposed to check the rearview mirror and the side view mirrors.
Right.
I know I'm old school, but you really are supposed to know who's around you at any given moment in case a squirrel runs out at you and you need to, you know. Seriously, I told that to the kids. If you know that no one's to the left of you, if someone oncoming traffic or something, if there's a dilemma, you know you can kind of swerve over to the left without getting in an accident.
Right.
This guy was oblivious to this giant Ford Explorer that was just compounded down on him. How do you not see those lights in your rearview mirror?
I don't know. I do know I want to get the horn that the cops have that make the really loud noise.
That's what I heard this morning.
That gets people's attention.
You should bring that to the health club for the guy who, Jimmy Two Machines.
As he's talking to me, just play it really loud. What happened? I just don't want to listen to you anymore.
I like it.
One time at the Wilmette Theater, there's almost no one in the theater. I'd say 8 people, 10 people. The movie's 10 minutes away from starting. There's like, honestly, there's less than a dozen people in the movie theater. And my wife and I are sitting in two of the chairs. And then a guy comes and he sits right in front of me, even though there's 100 empty seats in the theater.
God, I hate that.
So I look at Terry and I go, he's going to move, right? I don't think he's going to move. So I say, excuse me, I'm just curious. I'm not trying to start trouble. I'm just curious. Why didn't you sit like over there or over there or over there? He goes, really like this seat. I go, I know, but I'm behind you. And now I have an obstructed view seat because you really like that seat. He goes, you can move. I go, I could move, but wouldn't it make more sense for you to pick a seat that's not blocking anybody? He goes, hey, I really like this seat.
So did you move?
We ended up moving. If Terry wasn't with me, that story might have had a different ending.
But where do you, I mean, how do you win?
I would have sat in front of him and done that thing where I push up on my arm so that I'm really, really tall so that he couldn't see me. He couldn't see around me.
And what is the outcome of that?
I don't know.
Then he sits in front of you, and pretty soon someone's in the front row, and you don't enjoy the movie.
It's like a human version of Othello.
Yeah.
We're just moving from seat to seat. Hey, you be on my team. You be on my team.
See, I am passive-aggressive, and I wouldn't have said anything. I would have assumed he was just going to stay there for the whole movie, and I would have done a very audible, jeez, and then moved over.
He wouldn't have cared. You know that, right?
Yeah, but
At least now, my goal in something like that is so that the next time he's presented with that situation, he goes, wow, I'm irritating people by getting in their way.
Yeah, but that's like his seat. Like Roger Ebert had his own seat.
But this was just some guy. I mean, Roger Ebert did, for people who don't know, when you'd go to a screening here in Chicago, there was a seat in the screening room that you did not sit in because that was Roger's seat. And everybody knew it.
I loved it when they released the Star Wars, I guess it was the first Star Wars movie. What is that?
New Hope. Star Wars.
No, the original, like from the 70s.
Yeah.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
I thought it was just Star Wars.
No, Star Wars. Well, when it first came out, it was just called Star Wars, but then when they re-released it.
Okay, so it was at the AMC theaters downtown, and of course I went with Jimmy Mack. He wanted to go. And
I was there with you guys.
Oh, and Roger was right next to us, sound asleep.
Yeah, he slept through it.
And he was eating rice cakes because he was dieting, and he woke up after a big explosion and went and got popcorn. He's like, the hell with these rice cakes, I'm getting back on the popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
The thing that got me in trouble is I didn't know, because you and I had had him on the show. We didn't really know each other, but we had had him on the show, so we kind of knew each other, but nothing dramatic. I didn't know that when a movie was over, you were not allowed to talk to him or Gene Siskel because they wanted to keep their opinion for the newspaper.
I didn't know that either.
And on two different occasions, I struck up a conversation about the movie, and he was not pleased. You would think after one time I'd learned my lesson, but no, I waited until the second time. Hey, what'd you think? It was pretty good, huh? Did you like that? He just stares at me. And then I was told by other film critics, oh no, you do not discuss a movie with Mr. Ebert or Mr. Siskel after the movie.
If Roger Ebert wasn't in heaven right now, I would think he was the guy who sat in front of you at the Wilmette Theater just to bug you and get back at you.
Remember that time you talked to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I never should have talked to you, Roger Ebert. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Wendy, you remember Judy Pylak?
Nope.
You don't remember Judy? For those of you who listened to the show long, long, long time ago, Judy used to come in and do the news for us. She will come back in and do the news, the same news from years and years ago. And then we'll have our friend Jerry Nunn come by and tell us what to expect, events in and around Chicago. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude.
I know you
got to get back to the newsroom.
Busy day in the newsroom.
Just a bit.
Jerry Nunn is here. We love talking to Jerry Nunn because he rubs elbows with the stars, Wendy. He doesn't get to meet the stars, but he does come in and rub their elbows. And it gets very, very strange when he does
that. And then I give them lotion if they need it.
How are you, Jerry?
I'm so glad that we're all together. And
I know.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. We usually have you on at the very end of the month or very beginning of the month. We didn't have a chance last Friday. There was a lot going on in the news.
Right.
Did we miss any big things over the week? What did we miss?
Oh gosh, there's always something going on.
Yeah, sure.
So I adjusted. So we would just talk about towards the end of the month. There's a lot of Halloween stuff.
Can I just ask you a quick question about something that's already passed? Were you in on this premiere of Tootsie, the musical version of Tootsie?
Yes, of course I was there.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I went in very skeptical.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't sure what it was going to be like because they updated it. And I'm an 80s kid. So yeah. I liked, I wanted to be back then. But it was done so well. I could not believe how good the Santino guy did.
Yeah.
He just really channeled a little bit of Dustin Hoffman, so it made the people that are longtime fans enjoy it. And the music's good. The cast across the board was really good.
Yeah.
So I was really, a lot of us left. I mean, people were raving about it.
Oh, good. Good. I hope it has a long run.
Yeah, it goes on to New York. So
yeah. It has not played Broadway yet. They opened it up here first prior to Broadway,
which is the best. I mean, isn't it?
They've done that with a few other shows. Yeah, I like when that happens.
Yes. I mean, and Kinky Boots went on and did really well.
Spamalot.
Yes, all kinds of stuff.
Is Kinky Boots still playing in New York?
It's still going around. I think that thing's got legs.
I get it. I never saw it, and I love Cyndi Lauper, and I just, next time if it comes here, I got to go.
Yeah. You do. Yeah.
Got to.
Yeah, it's always
all right, what do we need to know? What is coming to Chicago or the outlying suburbs?
So a lot of Halloween happenings, of course. You know, this is a big time of the year for me.
You love Halloween. Yep. Your big party.
I have a big Halloween party, and people come. And so I've been already hitting the haunted houses. So this gave me a little time to get some haunted houses under my belt.
Yeah?
So it worked out really
good?
Well.
What did you see that you liked?
So I went to Fright Fest last weekend, and mm-hmm. I'd never really experienced. I'd been to a media
That's
preview.
At Great America?
At Great America. Six Flags Great America. And I'd been to a media preview, but this is the first time I had, you know, headed up and experienced it with the crowds.
Yeah.
So, and it was crowded. Let me just warn people. It's
been
crowded.
Years since I've gone. What do they have going on there now? It's just, it's the rides, and they make them scarier looking, right?
Well, they turn out the lights.
Yeah.
They're all dark.
That is not fun for me.
Oh, Whitey's already out.
Yeah, so you don't see what's coming. And then they have all these monsters that walk around the crowd and jump out at people and scream and have chainsaws.
Oh.
So people are, you know, they're encouraged not to run, so you don't want to tell people to run, but you want to run.
Yeah.
Now, that's fun for you?
I had a blast. Not so much.
I'm an old lady, I guess.
But I went to, there's 600 houses in there. So I went running around. There's one based on a new movie, called Hellfest. So they have a haunted maze that you go around in.
So that movie is about a haunted house at Halloween time.
Yes.
And now they have a haunted house based on the movie that's based on.
Yes.
It's come full circle.
Yeah, it just keeps going around. Right. Right. So it has a scary doll room and a lot of spaces with like a lot of people sitting, like mannequins, but you don't know which one's like the real person.
Oh.
So they're going to pop out.
And you walk through it and then they surprise you. They scare you.
It was raining last weekend. So that was a challenge because, you know, there's some outdoor spaces, but we had just such a great time.
Going good.
Because they're like professional. Honestly, they're professional haunted houses.
Yeah.
That they've just, so the other ones that I had experienced, these are smaller versions of it with six of them around the park in different locations.
Is this open on weeknights as well, or is it just Saturdays and Sundays?
It's a very limited run, so people need to check the schedule and make sure that they can come at the right times. It was open till 11 o'clock the night I was there on Saturday.
And all the rides are open, right?
Not all the rides are open.
No?
Not all the rides, and it's not really kid, it's definitely...
It's not kid friendly.
I don't think it was. There was people with their kids, and I just don't think that's the best idea.
Too scary for them.
I definitely thought it was.
All right.
So.
All right.
But
what
that
would
was
be,
a lot of fun.
For an average kid, what would you say the age range would be? Would you say 13, 14, 15-year-old and up?
Oh, that would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like the really little kids I see people carrying, and
that's
I'm like,
too much.
I don't want to see them getting traumatized.
Yeah.
You know, that's scary for me.
Maybe that's why I don't like haunted houses.
Because why?
Maybe my mom took me when I was months old.
She maybe.
None of us like it.
So a bunch of us went to a haunted house from WGN. We eight of us went through last week.
Yeah.
So that was really, really fun. That was out at Melrose Park. That's 13th floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to that one. And then I'm going to one Saturday called House of Torment. And that's up north with some nuns involved.
God, because of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, they've had nuns in the past, but I think it's the nuns. This is a big
nuns are very
nuns.
Popular.
Very scary.
Super popular. So I would wear the habit, but, you know, they're going to think I'm part of that act.
Does Stateville still do it? Have you ever been to that one?
I have been to that one. Yeah, that's way out. You have to really travel. The reason that haunted houses are out of the city a lot of times is because the rules are not the law. There's a lot of laws and things that they have to follow here, a lot of rules. So they like to go out in the burbs. And
what in a former prison, that would freak me out.
Yeah.
What sort of rules? What's the hang up
like
on the rules?
Like not touching people?
Yeah.
Right. There's, and I've been to some where you can sign a contract and they can touch you.
The one that used to be by me in Tinley Park, they were grabbing you the whole way.
Yeah, there was an Amlings one that when I was growing up.
Everybody's grabbing you.
Right.
All the time.
Not anymore.
Which in this day and age, no, that's not good. But if you sign a contract that says, hey, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
And they're cool with it. And
we had the Kevin Spacey haunted house. That was by us when I was a kid.
No.
That was a bad one.
That would be scary.
Stay away from that one.
Yes, definitely.
I don't recommend it.
I think I broke a gorilla's wrist once who grabbed at me.
Oh, my.
I just punched back.
Yeah.
Oh.
I bet they get that all the time, is even though they're grabbing you and trying to scare you, people are grabbing them back.
Well, I worked at the one at Navy Pier for 5 years.
Did you?
Yeah, as an actor in the show. And it was supposed to be more acting where we're doing different scenes and things, but then it went off the rails real quick because people's, you know, their jerk reaction is to lash out, kick, hit. We had somebody get kicked in the stomach like right away and they had to fix it. Like, we can't have this anymore. They had more security
really
in the rooms and stuff because people just react.
So they'll, as you're walking through, I was never at the one on Navy Pier, but mm-hmm. you'd be walking through different scenes from movies, essentially, and stuff?
Right. It could be things cool. like that. Or, you know, I played like a butler, and I would run around and, you know,
with a head on a tray.
Yes, exactly. The head on the tray. Or like a rat, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Some rats.
That's very cool.
So, yeah. So it was a lot of fun. There's more acting involved. But then when it gets down to the wire, the closer to Halloween, you're just like, I'm tired. I'm not doing a whole scene. You know, they're not getting the full show.
So see them in early October. Don't go late October because you say the scary actors are fed up with it.
And the lines get crazy, and then you need to really pay for VIP because you're going to be in line for a really long time.
How long?
It could be really, I mean, as it gets closer. Oh, longer than that.
More than an hour.
Yeah, and even at Six Flags, you know, the Flash Pass was, like, really valuable. It's $100, but it's, like, it makes such a difference when you're riding these rides. We flew through the rides.
You don't want to just stand in line the whole time?
I do.
Yeah?
That's most fun for me.
You know, then you don't spend money.
Where's Mom? She's on the line ride. She loves the line ride.
Stands around. So there's also the Halsted Street Halloween Parade. Remember I told you about this?
Yeah.
Didn't know about that, but it is a lot of fun, and it's back
what
again.
What night is that?
So that's Wednesday, October 31st.
Okay,
so
on the actual day.
On the actual day.
Yeah.
Right, so they're doing registration for costume contest at 5 p.m., $4,000 in prizes.
Ooh. To one winner, or they spread that out?
They spread it out.
Yeah.
And the bars along the strip, there's all different prizes, and you can win a lot of money. If you have a good costume, it could be worth it.
Oh. Yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, this is the seventh year for the
I'm going to be a hobo. Do you think I'll win?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to. I have to see
pretty
it.
Pretty original.
I have to see
Has
it.
Has anyone ever been a hobo before?
That was my go-to costume when I was younger. My mom would just take a broomstick, and then you'd tie a bandana and stick newspaper in there with a little knapsack or whatever.
Right.
And you'd burn a cork, and she'd make whiskers
sure.
on me.
Yep.
I looked like Sandy the Clown. That's what I looked like.
From Bozo?
Yeah.
So this is the seventh year that the Chicago Thriller Flash Mob is going to be dancing. So they dance to the Thriller
that's
music.
That's super cool.
And it's a great photo op.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So that's a lot of fun.
All right. And that's on Halsted Street on Halloween.
On Halloween.
The night of. All right.
So that's really fun. I don't know if you guys know about this, the Music Box of Horrors at the Music Box.
No.
I know the theater, but I don't know the event.
It's interesting. It's on October 13th. It's 24 hours of scary movies.
Oh.
So
what are the titles? Do you know?
They're going to have, they do like Child's Play.
Oh.
Chucky.
One of them. Chucky's going to be there.
That's scary. How about Kevin Hart movies? Those are scary.
Could be. there's a whole huge list, but one of my friends has made a movie, Blame It on Toby, that he's promoting and it's supposed to be really scary.
Oh, yeah?
So it's good to support local filmmakers.
That's a Chicago guy who made this?
Richard Knight. I don't know if you know him. He did movies and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So wait, this is running 24. I mean, you can go at any time to see it. When is this?
This is Saturday, October 13th. And so it starts at noon. And then it goes all the way through October 14th. So
so you could just pop in at like 2 in the morning and see what's playing?
You could. I mean, it's going to be $30 probably no matter when you go.
Yeah.
So it's a $30
fee. So get your money's worth. See a bunch of movies.
So then you can really go. And they also do Hexalong Hocus Pocus. So it's like a campy thing at the Music Box October 7th.
To the Bette Midler movie, Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's got a big camp thing. And Richard Knight actually plays Dick O'Day.
Did you ever see that movie, Hocus Pocus?
Of course.
I have not.
Did you enjoy it?
It was so bad, but that's what's awful. The camp thing. That's the
I guess so.
I mean, Bette Midler doing the voices and all that. Yeah, it was really strange.
It's Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, mm-hmm. and Sarah Jessica Parker, right?
Yes.
Are those the witches in it?
Yeah, some very strange performances if you want to see something. But this is the 25th anniversary. They're going to show it in 35mm.
Oh. It'll be bad in 35mm. One time my daughters were watching that movie when they were real little, and they were just staring at it. And I go, do you guys like this movie? And they both shook their heads no at the same time.
Oh.
I go, well, let's watch something else then. And they perked up.
How sweet are they? They didn't even complain.
They didn't want to hurt Sarah Jessica Parker's feelings.
Do you have a favorite scary movie?
I got a bunch. Rosemary's Baby is the perfect scary movie.
That's a great
one. I love it.
I can't stop watching. Every time it comes
on. Good.
That is good.
Yeah,
and it's not, I mean... You know how movies today are all slasher movies and it's just gore and stuff like that? That's all just, it's like what you don't see is what's scary in Rosemary's Baby, you know?
Right. There's not enough suspense.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Wendy?
I, honest to God, love Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes, it is camp.
It is camp, but Bill, you even said you like that movie too, which is surprising because it's really lame.
They set out to make a bad movie. I mean, they knew it was a joke movie,
right.
But it's fun.
Yeah,
it's good.
All right, so we're putting on our walking shoes. Just want to let you know, in the Jason Van Dyke, Laquan McDonald trial, the jury has reached a verdict, and according to the sources I have, it is going to be read at 1:45 this afternoon.
Interesting to see what will happen. I'm hoping everything goes off okay, but...
Yeah, just come on, people, be respectful to one another.
Yeah.
It's out of your hands. It went to court for this reason, so...
See what happens. That's it. We're done.
Have a good weekend.
There'll be no more show today. Want to try it again on Monday?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's try it again on Monday. Please join us then. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.